tunga su cái chi say mai gió cái su dùng á King ngọc miêu tờ welcome my name say mai yo akisuk and I'm from King 8.
Welcome back to Radio Juxtapose. Today we bring you a special episode recorded live at the Canada Goose pop-up in Miami's Design District, celebrating the launch of a series of three limited edition prints by Inuit artist Samayo Akisuk. Let's get straight into it right now as we join Evan Preco in conversation with Samayo alongside Natalie McNamara, the creative director of curatorial firm Namara, to discuss the influences and inspiration of Samayo's work, the Canada Goose Arts Collection, and a lot more.
Well, we are here in Miami, which is this epicenter of the art world, and I read an interview with you in, I think it was 2018, where you said that you hated art.
Yes.
Okay. But here we are celebrating your art in Miami.
In Miami.
So let's go from like how you hating art to now.
Like I grew up with my parents and my grandfather lived with us, but I saw him like sculpting. And I never really had appreciation for it because I guess I didn't understand it. Whenever we had art classes, I would like, ugh, boring.
So you hated it, but you liked drawing. You did like to do some things. You just maybe didn't like the idea of being an artist.
Like I slept a lot in high school and Arctic College. And whenever we had these like very important lectures in class, I had to be up. Because I needed to listen to the lectures. And so in order for me to be up and keep myself busy, I would always have to do something. Because if I just like listen, then I'd be falling asleep. So I had to keep myself busy. And I would use like pens, and use up their pens, doodling.
So then you had a friend that saw your drawings and kind of told you like, hey, Samayo, you have something here, and that kind of encouraged you to be more confident to keep making art.
She had to literally beg me to go to the studio to pick up like paper and pen to introduce me to the buyer that time. Yeah, like she had to bring me after school, and because even if I said I'm going, I would just end up going home. So one day she brought me to the shop.
And she's the one who kind of encouraged you to keep going.
Yes.
Did you have an understanding that the community you came from had a lot of artists?
My grandfather was a sculptor. My step-grandpa is also an artist who does like stone cutting back home. So
you grew up around it. So there was stuff. Yeah, so that's amazing. I just love the fact that you hated art and here we are celebrating your art and your art's so good. Natalie, so happy to have you here as well. You have a career in curation and kind of getting artists to be seen more. I want to know about the Namara. Namara? Is that how you say it?
That's right, Namara.
Yeah. And like what inspired you to start the kind of the curatorial company and kind of working kind of in this world?
Before I started Namara, I had been a gallerist for the better part of a decade. So working with artists, hosting exhibitions, but the 4 to 6 week exhibition cycle got a little tedious and I was ready to do something on my own, but I knew the format had to be different. I've never really been precious about art in the way that the art world often is. I like to see it in the wild. Artists working in other fields, art outside the white cube. Yeah. And that sort of naturally progressed into a curatorial firm servicing brands and corporations.
Did you notice that your relationship with artists changed from going from gallerist to more of it, like this kind of curatorial work?
This is better.
Yeah?
Yes, because I'm usually coming to see them because we're making an acquisition or requesting a commission, and that's an excellent way to start a relationship with an artist.
Right. And then, like, I guess thinking about that and thinking about the Canada Goose Art Collection, when did you become familiar with that? And, like, what did you know about it before you started working?
I didn't know a whole lot about Canada Goose before we started working together, but immediately picked up how significant the Arctic is to the brand culture. They actually initially hired me as a retail experience consultant, which was an interesting choice because, of course, I had no experience in retail, not even as a retail salesperson. And I think that's exactly why they brought me on. They were looking for an interesting perspective. They were curious about my gallery background and wanted to see how that might have an influence on their store design and visual merchandising.
When it comes to working with someone like Sam Ayu, how did you find out about her work? Like, how did this kind of relationship start growing? And like, what are you looking at when you're looking at kind of the artist to bring to the brand?
I consider myself a generalist, very intentionally so. I don't have an expertise. And in fact, only because I've worked with Canada Goose have I learned so much about Inuit and Indigenous art. Certainly within Canada, we have an understanding of this series of communities that live across the Arctic, and Sam Ayu's community is famous for its very high concentration of artists. So when we started working with Canada Goose and understanding that we were going to be amplifying Arctic narratives and really trying to tether all the storytelling to this really mysterious, very cold place, Kinnite was the natural place to start. And in fact, it's much easier to work with the Kinnite artists because they have so much infrastructure built in. There's a system for bringing the work back and forth. One of the biggest challenges working specifically with commissions with artists from Kinnite is that if it snows, nothing's moving.
Right.
So right. We need to be giving ourselves long leads in order to ensure that we have enough time to get the work into the final destinations.
Okay, so when I think about where you grew up and where you live, I think about this vast, beautiful landscape. And I heard that you don't like painting landscapes.
I've done once and I've never done it again.
So I think that's like kind of amazing that like that kind of that you have chosen not to do landscapes, and even the prints that you have that you're releasing, they have like this beautiful, like they're just the characters like on the blank paper. It's kind of an interesting way of doing it. Why do you think that you don't like painting the landscapes?
I tried it and I didn't really enjoy it, and I like enjoying my work. So yeah. When I'm about to start my paper, I'm like, I know I'm not going to make a landscape, but what am I going to make? An animal, some kind of an animal.
I know that you love drawing birds, and there's like, obviously there is a ton of bird varieties up there, up in the north where you're from. Can you talk a little bit about like your love of drawing birds?
I love creating colors and patterns. And I also use like the internet and whatnot, because like we have ravens over the winter, and then over the spring we have more birds coming. So sometimes I go online and you guys have beautiful, colorful birds. So I get my ideas from there too.
There's this thing about the patterns, and I was thinking about your grandfather and his carvings. Like, did you learn things about patterns just from the way he did his carvings? Or was there anything you got from the way he was making his art that helps you?
It's the shapes that help. Like, my shapes are all similar to his, but my colors are like bold. My grandfather was a sculptor, which meant that he used only stone, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm an artist where I use paper and pencil. And the way I do my work is like choosing my colors first.
Yeah, right. Okay. Oh, so you choose colors first. That's kind of you.
I make an outline. I draw something. Then after that, I'm like choosing colors, and then I pattern sometimes and design it. And then sometimes I think my grandfather was like guiding me. I'm like the first, like eldest of my parents. My parents are not artists. My dad's a politician. My mom's a stay-at-home mom. When I first started this, I was stuck. I was like, I didn't know what to do. Had no idea. So I just looked at my paper for what? 2 hours. Nothing. I had no idea, like block whatsoever, until I remembered my grandfather's carvings. So once I remembered, I'm like, okay, this is what he did before. I started making what he did before. And as soon as I brought it down to the studio, the art buyer goes, oh, Lacha lost his birds.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
So they knew.
They knew. This was my third, like the very third time I brought something to the co-op. And it was made into an edition.
Amazing. So your grandfather's work does kind of stick with you.
Yes, all the time. Like his feet. If you Google his work, you'll see my feet and their feet. Like his feet, they're similar. If you ever look at them, they're like almost all of them, like the bears and the birds, they all have the same feet. They're like that.
Did he show work? Did he exhibit artwork?
Oh, he even got like an award from the Queen in the 1970s. He met the Queen of England.
That's right. Wow.
I know.
How was that? Did he ever talk about that experience?
Not really.
No, but you did. Sema Yu was in the Toronto office last week, and there's a photo of an Inuit carver with the Queen, and she's like, that's my grandfather. And nobody knew that that was Lhtcha Lhasi.
I was like, oh my God, that's my grandfather.
How are visuals passed down through the generations? Like, are there certain things that certain animals or certain kind of visuals that you have noticed as get passed through the generations, or does each generation kind of create their own identity with like the birds and the bears stuff that you're painting or drawing?
They usually create their own, but I was never taught to be an artist. I like, you know how you guys go to college and stuff like that to become an artist? We learn by watching mostly.
I mean, that's, I think, the best way. Really? And like, Natalie, like when you're thinking about the stuff that you've kind of been looking at over the years, or even with Sam Ayu's work, do you see trends of stuff that's been passed through the generations? Do you see trends of like, or is it each generation kind of having its own identity?
You can see the work changing over the years, absolutely. It's also the case that in the earliest years, I think a lot of artists were really trying to cater to a Southern audience, making work that exoticizes the North, that makes, you know, these stories feel sexy and exciting, but not always authentic. Would you agree, Sema Yu? Mm. And I feel like artists like you and many others in the community now are making work for yourselves, work that's meaningful to your experience, and not trying to please the Southerners as much. Now, I think it's having the opposite effect, though, because I think that work is becoming more sought after.
Well, that's interesting, because it's going to brings up the Venice Biennale and how the community was put kind of a major highlight, especially that, you know, that really incredible New York Times special that was done about the community. I can imagine, so like it is difficult because people from the Southerners like looking up to the North and kind of like trying to impose some sort of idea on it, but like it seems like your work is so naturally yours. And do you feel that pressure at all from the South to kind of create in a certain way?
When I feel pressured, I have an artist block, so I try not to feel pressure. I want to enjoy what I'm doing.
Did that exposure from the Venice Biennale, like, did it get all the artists excited in your community, or is it kind of like, did it not matter?
There was a lot of people excited. Like, there was talks about it.
Yeah.
So,
Right, yeah. I mean, it was quite a big deal. Natalie, was that a big deal for just work that you do?
I think so. Suvi's work is exceptional. And I think that she was already very well regarded in Canada, but it did a lot to bring her work to a more international audience. I think it was good for Canadian art more generally.
The prints that you made. But we have the original drawings here that we saw, and it's just like absolutely stunning, the detail and the patterns and the colors that you choose. Is that really indicative of the style of work that you're making? Is that, are these kind of like that, you use the oil? Is that what it was?
I use oil pastels, Poscas, crayons.
Is this one of the first times you've done prints from drawings before? Or do you do prints?
There's a printmaker, so I do the drawings, and then I work with the printmaker of which one they make, like which art they want to make it into edition.
Yeah. Kind of curious about, you know, these works in particular. Can you say the names of the prints? Because I know I will not do it justice.
Polar bears are Nanuit. The transformation is Izirait. And the goose is Nitlit.
Can you talk a little bit about the goose one, that work? Like, what inspired you to do that one? Because I think that work is just absolutely so beautiful.
When I start my work, I just never know what I'm going to do. Like, I didn't know I was going to create that. I have all these different images in my head. But once I start, it never, ever, ever comes out as what it was, it was in my head. So I feel like when I do art, it comes out as it wants to be, as it should be.
What was the kind of inspiration between these three prints? Like, what was the idea behind the works? Or what inspired you?
Maybe you can tell us a little bit about the transformation story with the feathers that are under the nails.
I don't really know that story. That are under the nails? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not like Ning, where I hear these stories and whatnot. You know how Ning does her work. She uses the stories that she heard growing up. Mm-hmm. Growing up, I grew up with my grandfather, but every time I told him to tell me stories, he would say he didn't know any stories or he didn't want to tell me stories. So I'm inspired just by seeing what I, like, seeing the animals out there. And like, is it right? It can transform into anything, like a human or any kind of animal. Like, it could fool you into you following it. Like, it becomes caribou.
It's a mischievous character, right?
Yes. It becomes a caribou. And because our ancestors were like hunters, they would follow the caribou, and then it would, like, the caribou would go somewhere where they would try and get us lost and then take us or something. Mm-hmm. Yes. And then with polar bears, I just like drawing polar bears. Yeah.
Well, and you've mentioned Ning a couple times. We're talking about Ning Yokulu TV, mm-hmm. A very important artist that you work with in Kinite. But Ning grew up with grandmothers, and so she had many stories shared with her over her life. And so we see a lot of the stories coming through, including the goose with the mother-in-law story that we're talking about here. But she was an important figure for you and your progression as an artist, wasn't she?
I wouldn't be here if it weren't for Ning. I would not be here if it weren't for Ning.
Yeah, and her success has been good for everybody.
Yes. And she's the one who brought me to, like, she's the one who, what do you call it? Like, saw what I could do before anyone else ever did. Like, she knew me even before I knew myself. Because I went to college, like, to become a teacher, only to come out as an artist.
Yeah. I thought that was really nice what you were just talking about, kind of this artists helping each other out. And I was curious that when you go to the studio, if there is, like, a collaborative kind of connection with other artists when you're making your work, or is everybody quite solitary?
Sometimes, like, Ning and I have done a couple of projects where, like, she would draw something and then I would add something to it.
So there is, like, kind of conversations between the artists and people are helping each other out.
And then the printers and the artists, like, they're always working together.
Yeah.
Yeah, they would not make changes without my permission, and they always ask first.
I hate to say it, but I need to say it, and we need to talk about it. I know the weather conditions can be quite harsh where you live. Has it ever proven difficult for you to get certain materials, or has it ever kind of been a hindrance in anything that you do?
Like, the West Baffin Eskimo Co-op provides our materials, like everything from paper, pencils, crayons, oil pastels. So they're usually stocked up.
Right.
Yeah.
What is your favorite thing to work with?
Lately, I've been using a lot of oil pastels because I'm learning how to make, like, patterns on it, not just color. So I would use a oil pastel, and then once I'm done, I would use an old bounce or like spoon or anything like that, an eraser to make those patterns.
Yeah, yeah. And how is the oil pastel been something like in the last couple of years you've started to use?
Yes.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
It was mostly pencil and crayons. Like, I even started recently using Posca's.
Yeah, yeah, okay. What is the first thing you remember drawing as a kid that made you, like, that you really got really excited about?
As a kid?
Or even as an adult, whatever.
As a kid, I was always envious of those people who drew, like, very detailed. because I don't do much details. But my first ever drawing I remember is when I was in college. It was like a landscape. And then there was like a human bird and just a bird.
The first and the last.
So were you kind of excited when you got asked to do a print release during Miami? Was that something kind of you never thought that would happen?
I never thought I'd be an artist. I never thought I'd be this person. Growing up, I never knew what I wanted to be. I went to college just to get that degree, you know, just to have education. And I really thought I'd be a teacher.
But you were a teacher.
Yes, for 5 years.
Do you still do any teaching?
No.
Oh, you're done.
I love being an artist. I work, like, I'm a legal aid worker, court worker in Kingite, and I work at home, so I feel comfortable of what I do.
Do you don't miss teaching?
No.
You would be such a good teacher, though.
I was.
Yeah.
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 I had fun teaching.
Yeah.
But like the COVID days made everything so complicated, and
I don't know if you could weigh in a little bit on maybe just the birth of the prints in this project.
Semeyu's work is already in quite a few locations for Canada Goose. And I think that one of the things that we do is ask the brand ambassadors to share feedback with us. What are people noticing? Art in a retail store is not necessarily expected. And so we're always curious to know how people are reacting to the work in the various stores. And Semeyu's across the board is always noticed. For Miami, we wanted to do something special. And to be honest, we didn't have access to a lot of your work for the first couple of years. So now that you've been a little more prolific, it was an easy answer to say, okay, this is the time to feature Semeyu's work. We also knew that we wanted to bring an artist down. And I think Semeyu will tell you that not all Inuit are necessarily comfortable coming this far south. She's traveled 10,000 kilometers to get here. And so we also wanted to work with Semeyu because we knew that you were going to be just outstanding coming down and being adored and celebrated here.
And, you know, also it's like good fashion tells a story and your work clearly tells a story. So there is a good synergy. Even when you walk in just now and saw the work, you're kind of like, okay, this actually really works really nicely together. It's very good. It's like a good symbiosis. Maybe you could talk a little bit about the Canada Goose art collection and just the works that are being collected and how they're displayed and how the collection is growing and the things that maybe just kind of give a little highlight about it, because that is one of the reasons why we're here.
Absolutely. It's a brilliant collection, if I can say so myself. There are nearly 600 works now across more than 50 stores. Inuit art and Canadian art more generally is represented on four continents, moving into five next. When we're building the collections, we approach each store as kind of a mini collection. So we're going to consider the audience and what they might connect with. We also like to work with in-market artists. So generally speaking, we'll have a collection of Inuit art that is then contextualized through the addition of Southern Canadian artists and in-market artists. Certainly with the work that we do throughout Greater China, we want to make sure that the narratives connect with the audience in a meaningful way. One of our more recent openings was in Beijing, and that I think was the most exciting because we could take, in that case, Semeyu's work and bring it off the page. So Semeyu worked with a Southern designer and fabricators in Beijing and made a 10-foot bird sculpture that sits in one of the stores, powder-coated and including the same patterning that she uses in her paperworks, but something that people can engage physically with in the store. So in terms of what we're trying to do with the collection, I think we want to give each store a unique identity, its own character, and create some visual material and, more importantly, some stories that people can connect with when they come in. I think for me, the greatest joy is also just creating moments of discovery, kind of surprises when people come in to see things that they may not have expected.
I feel like, Samayu, you're here in Miami. Is there anything that you want to see in Miami that you might get a chance to see?
I want to go to the beach.
We're going to put your sand in the feet tomorrow. Yeah.
There is a lot of beach here. You know, as we just said, you made this huge journey here. Is there like anything you'd like to kind of just say here at the end? Just say, because we're here because of your beautiful work. Just if there's any like last words that you have to say.
Always believe in yourself so you can be successful.
Love it.
Because that's what matters the most. Like, you can have other people believing in you, but you believing in yourself is what matters the most, because you know you can do it. Nakok me, kusan na mayo pong makatakachi, kusan lizunga. Upaninyak na kulaw ko sa mga itong. Thank you all so much for having me. I never thought I'd be the person I am today.